when God hides you. There's all kind of things happening in Israel. Ahab is the king. And back in those days, they made alliances with other countries by the king marrying a woman from the other country so that there would be peace. But God has said, you shall not marry a woman of another faith. God was not all that interested in who you married racially, but he did not want the king of Israel to marry a woman who worshiped Baal. Now, I can imagine, the Bible doesn't give us any detail, I can imagine that probably Jezebel was fine. She probably was a 10. She just had a messed up religion. And God says, you shall not marry a woman of another country that worships another god, because I am a jealous God. Thou shalt not have any other god before me. It's sort of like saying, I can put up with a lot of stuff, but don't mess with my glory. I'm long-suffering, I can forgive sin, I'm plenteous in mercy, but don't mess with my glory. When you mess with my glory, you've gone too far. Ahab, do not marry Jezebel. But Ahab was just like some of us, we're a little hard-headed. So he married Jezebel. And the Bible says that Ahab was one of the worst kings they ever had. But how many of you know, on one hand, when a crisis happens, God also raises up somebody and gives him or her an opportunity to do something about the crisis. So while all of this is going on over there in Israel, and Ahab is the king, and he marries Jezebel, and all kinds of things are happening, and so Ahab begins to listen to his wife Jezebel, and they start persecuting all of the priests, God raises up a priest, a prophet, by the name of Elijah, and says, I want you to go and preach before Ahab. So he goes and preaches before Ahab. And can you imagine this little preacher going to stand before the king to say, there shall not be any rain in this country until I say there's going to be rain. So he goes down there and he preaches, and sure enough, there's no rain for years. And Ahab probably, and Elijah probably, you know, if, you know, every now and then we all have a good sermon. If you keep preaching long enough, you're going to have a good day. And this was one of his best days. He goes out there and he preaches before the king, and he says, listen, there's not going to be any rain, because as the Lord God speaketh, there shall not be any rain until I tell you that there's going to be rain. So there is a drought in the land. It's a bad economy. Cattle are dying. It was an agricultural society. No tomatoes are growing. No collard greens are growing. No peaches are happening. No sweet potatoes. Are you feeling me? Ain't nothing that you like. It's a bad season. And Elijah is the one that caused this to happen. And one would have thought, hey, because, listen, I had a good Sunday, I'm on a revival circle now. And so I know everybody going to want to hear me preach now, because they know that it is at my word. It's my word. If I don't say it, it ain't going to happen. But God doesn't give Elijah an evangelistic sermon journey. God takes Elijah and hides him. And this is a word for leaders. This is a word for all of us who are in leadership. Just because you have one good sermon, don't think that everybody's going to fall in love with you. As soon, I don't know, probably the first 6 months or so, probably, you know, Jezebel and Ahab's going on along just fine. They're the king and the queen. They ain't feeling the impact yet. But maybe a year later, all of a sudden, Jezebel puts, what's the word, an APB out on Elijah's life. And God hid him down by the brook Cherith. So here's the word for us. Sometimes you're in leadership. Don't think that God has abandoned you because he's hid you. Sometimes God hides you to develop you. Sometimes God takes you out of the action and puts you down by the chariot so that you will understand it ain't about you in the first place. It's about him. He's the one that strengthens you and develops you, and you have to learn how to wait on him. And when God gets ready, he can move you out of chariot. You know, there's a whole lot of people who went to school and they got their degrees. Paid all of this money, got a bachelor's degree, and some went back and got a master's degree. And they thought, like, you know, now I got my bachelor's, they didn't get a job for 2 years, 3 years. And then they say, okay, I'm going back, I'm going to get my master's degree, and they got a master's degree, and they still don't have no job. And they're raising the question, where are you, God? Listen, let me tell you something. God knows your situation, and God will show up at Cherith, and God can bring you out, and God wants you and I to learn how to trust him. So Elijah's down there. He's at Cherith. He's had this great Sunday he preached. It hadn't rained in years now. God sends him down to the brook, because most of us, when we go to school and when we do all of this stuff, we're on our way to Carmel. We want to go where we're going to pray one prayer and God's going to send the fire. But I want you to know, before you get to Mount Carmel, you got to go by chariot. You got to go by where the brook will dry up. And if you go by where the brook will dry up, you'll learn that it's not about you, but the Lord is making you and maturing you and developing you, so that when you get to Mount Carmel, you'll understand how to treat other people who are down there at Cherith. We all want to be promoted so fast. I remember when I was getting out of seminary, 1976, people ask me, well, where you want to go? Where you going? I was, I don't know, 25, something like that, 25. And I said, well, I want to pastor Abyssinia. And they respected me too much to laugh. And God sent me to Monumental in Elmira, New York. They had about 50 people right there. It was my chariot that I stayed there for 8.5 years. God was molding me and developing me. I wasn't ready for Abyssinia. In fact, I'm probably still not ready for Abyssinia. But thanks be to God, God promoted me after 8.5 years. Every now and then, what I'm trying to say is, every now and then, God's got to hide you, to protect you, and sometimes he's got to protect you from yourself. Do I have a witness in that? Sometimes he ain't protecting you from somebody else. Sometimes he's just protecting you from your own ego. Anybody know it? We think that we are better than we are. So he takes, you know, it's like the soloist who has a good Sunday, who think they're ready to make a record. They don't make records no more, do they? CD. And they go to church, and you know, in church, you know, people usually affirm you in church when you're messing up. I mean, my God, sometimes they even make me think I can sing. Don't believe all your press. God very often takes us down to Cherith and he feeds us by raven. So the first thing I want you to understand is God will hide you. And the second thing I want you to understand that God will lead you. He talks to you and he leads you down to Cherith, the brook down there. And in the, most of the time when God leads us, he doesn't lead us. He doesn't give us the full blueprint of the future. Most of the time he leads us what? One day at a time. One step at a time. Because the fact of the matter is if we knew everything that was going to happen, we would throw in the towel. Do I have a witness? Because there's some stuff that's going to happen on your journey to get to Jerusalem. There's some stuff that's going to happen on your journey to get to Mount Carmel. If you knew everything, you wouldn't even try. So God just gives you as much as you can handle for this season in your life. But if you'll trust him, he'll open doors for you. After he's through hiding you, he'll lead you. He leadeth me. Ah, thanks be to God. He leadeth me. Through the valley, he leadeth me. Around still waters, he leadeth me. Through the hardship, he leadeth me. Through unemployment, he leadeth me. Through misunderstanding, he leadeth me. He takes my hand when I'm not strong enough by myself. He grabs my head and says, I've been up the road already. You just follow me. So he takes us. And he hides us. So he, I can't tell you how long you're going to have to stay at Cherith. I wish I could tell you, you know, Cherith is just going to be a short time. You're going to have to be at Cherith for about 6 weeks. I wish I could tell you. You know, and what do they say? Sometimes it takes 21 days for you to break an old habit. I wish I could tell you. All you had to do is just deal with 21 days. But I can't tell you that. I can tell you that, but I'd be lying. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I do know this. He'll take your hand. I do know this. He'll come and whisper some words of affirmation while you're in charity. I do know this, that he will encourage your soul. I do know this, at charity, he'll wipe the tears from your eyes. I do know this, that he's molding you and making you and shaping you and developing you for greater heights. And the longer you're in charity, the more you're going to succeed later on. He hides you. He leads you, and then he feeds you. He down there. Listen, now let me tell you something. When God feeds you, it may not be filet mignon. It may not be no lobster. I didn't know how to spell lobster when I was a boy. I don't even like lobster now. When he feeds you, you might have to deal with leftovers. You'll have a witness. I mean, when I was a boy, I learned to love chitlins. We didn't always eat high on the hog. We didn't always eat the ham. We didn't always eat the shoulder. We didn't always have pork chops. I can remember falling in love with a banana sandwich. I mean, I still like banana sandwich, y'all. Y'all don't know what that is. That's bread and mayonnaise and bananas. I can remember eating a tomato sandwich. We'd have light bread and tomatoes and mayonnaise, and you wanted to make it real good, throw some onions on it. But I can tell you you one thing. I've never been hungry a day in my life. The Lord always made a way. There was always something for us to eat. He doesn't always give you high on the hog, but he promised to supply your needs according to his riches and glory. He feeds you. He'll give you just what you need. Not always what you want, but he'll give you what you need. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy that I have. I've never known. So he takes him down there to Cherith. And after a while, the brook dries up. And God says, hey, I want you to leave Cherith. Let me back up a little bit, because he feeds Elijah by a raven. I got to be real hungry to take bread and meat from a dirty bird. But how many of you know you can be so messed up you'll take a blessing anywhere it comes? And you know that song we said, anywhere you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Well, you can get yourself in such a mess that it's more than a song. You will so not believe, bless me, Lord. I don't like her, I don't like him, but bless me anyhow. Old Reverend Dr. Elijah, who had a good Sunday, hiding out a chariot, and the Lord sent a raven to feed him. And then one day the Lord comes to him and said, listen, I want you to leave Cherith and go to Zarephath. I've got a widow woman over there and her son. She will sustain. He's obedient. He goes, sees this woman, and he sees her. She's out there picking up sticks. He says, would you bring me some water? She says, oh, no problem. I'll bring you some water. Then he says, by the way, would you bring me some bread? And she says, listen, I got some meal and a cruse of oil. But really, I don't have enough for me. Me and my boy, we're starving. We really don't have enough. He says, hey, bring it to me first. Now, I know some of you sitting out there said, that's just the way them preachers are. Jackson, boy, you are all right, but I'm starving. I'm not going to bring. But it's about giving God your best first. Don't be stick. It's more. It's not about Elijah. It's about God. It's not about what she had. It's about what God supplied. And some of us, we get all messed up about that little job you got and that little bank account, and we act like. Look at somebody and say, I didn't make myself. God made me, and people prayed for me, and my mama and my grandmama and my granddaddy and my school teacher and my Sunday school teacher. They developed me. They made me. I owe so many people. If truth be told, I ought to be paying my tithe or double up on my tithe, because if it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, the Lord brought me out of South Carolina. The Lord brought you out of Georgia. The Lord kept you. The Lord made a way for you. We owe God. To sing that song, you can't be God given, no matter how hard you try. So this woman who had nothing obeyed the prophet of God. And the Bible says that the cruse of oil worked every day. The Bible says that the meal never ran out. And here's what I want us to get. The Lord may never allow you to hit the $1 million lotto. But all you need is just enough. If you just have enough to pay your rent, if you just have enough to pay your car note, if you just have enough to pay the bus fare, if you just have enough to buy your kids a new pair of sneakers every now and then, that's enough to praise God for right there. I thank you, God, for enough. I thank you, God, for just providing enough. Here's the other thing. Don't get so messed up for how God is blessing somebody else. Because the fact of the matter is, if the Lord blessed us the way he blessed somebody else, sometimes we couldn't handle it. Remember that guy a long time ago that hit the lotto? He's out there in a white suit. Now he's broken and dying. I mean, he may be dead now, I don't know. But I declare to you, I think it's better to be poor and just have enough all along than to become a millionaire and then lost everything. How you feel about it? I know some of you out there say, well, I just like to try it once, Fred. I can hear you, I can relate to you. I'm not bad at you. I know some of you, I just like to try it. Reverend, I think I can do a good job. But here, this woman, I'm about done. This woman, her son, trusted the man of God and gave him bread first. And there's a lesson for you and me. Don't be stingy with God. Don't get so caught up in your job that you forget where your blessings came from. Blessings didn't come from PSENG. Your blessings didn't come from your job. Your blessings came from God. If it had not been for God, you wouldn't have had that job. You wouldn't have the help. You wouldn't be in your right mind. He opened doors for you. He made a way for you. When you were out there acting a fool, your blessing, he is a supply chain. Every now and then you ought to give him some praise, and nobody ought not have to make you praise him, and nobody ought not have to make you give him the tithe. Every now and then when you think about what could have been, you ought to give him the tithe at all. All right. Here's the other thing. Elijah was blessed by a dirty bird. Ravens were kind of like the buzzard family. Ravens were, they were kind of like scavengers. I remember when I was a boy, we used to catch June bugs. And as a boy, I never thought where those jokers had been. We had outhouses back then. June bugs were everywhere. Do I have to say anymore? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Well, a raven was like a buzzard. He was all over the place messing with dead stuff. And I would be saying, Lord, if you gotta bless me, how come you gotta make a raven feed me? This is a low life. I don't know if I want to eat that stuff. But here's the Lord can use a dirty bird to give you a clean word. Lord can use Uncle Skeet and Uncle Bobo and Aunt Nene who don't know the Lord to get you on the right track. So don't you dare try to scandalize Aunt Nene, for she has a word from the Lord every now and then. Do I have a witness in the house? He can use a dirty bird.
I talked about that CD that somebody gave me last Wednesday. Thank you very much. I see you back there. That CD blessed my life. You got another one, give me two more. CD blessed my life. And I can see, you know, I listened to one of those songs I've talked to you about before, and they start talking about, you know, this train is a clean train. This ain't no clean train.
This train is made up of whoremongers. This train is made up of liars. This train is made up of former gamblers. This train is made up of some of the lowest life in the world.
But God is plenteous in mercy. God is still in the redeeming business. God is still changing lives. God is still using dirty birds to preach his gospel. Because if he ever decided he was only going to use perfect people, this place would be empty. Do I have a witness? Thanks be to God. So we're in a fight. We're in a fight here at Mount Olive Baptist Church. We're in a fight. We're not fighting against community. We're not fighting against Trinity. We're not fighting against New Hope. We're not fighting against Mount Zion. We're fighting against the devil. We are fighting for the souls of lost men and lost boys and lost girls. We're in a struggle here, and we're not going to give up until we reach them for Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness? We're going to pray for them. We're going to evangelize. We're going to talk to them. We're going to love them. We're going to encourage them. We're in a struggle, but I declare unto you, I got a feeling we're going to win the fight one by one. We're going to save Hackensack. We're going to save Bergen County. We're going to save them one by one. We're the fight. But you got to know who the enemy is. The enemy is not another church. It's not another pastor. The enemy is the devil. We are soldiers. Hallelujah. I feel like fighting. A couple of weeks ago, when Minister Chamberlain was preaching, she talked about Muhammad Ali got knocked down. And she said he got knocked down, and the first thing he did was, because he said, champions don't stay down. Every now and then the devil gonna knock me down. And every now and then he's gonna put some obstacles in our way. And every now and then we gotta take 3 steps backwards and 1 step forward. But I'm gonna get back up again, and I'm gonna trust the Lord anyhow. And I'm gonna believe that the victory is already. How many of you know the victory is already assured? The victory, we know where the victory. We just gotta trust God. Get back up. The victory is ours. Amen.